News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. So yeah, I may have the microphone most of the time, but Copper's here and she's got opinions and it's worth hearing them. And so the microphone is hers some of the time too. So I am going to just sit back right now, take some notes, and listen to Copper as she opines. Miss Copper, the microphone is yours.
Copper's Corner, a safe space for hard truths.
Well, happy hump day, everyone. And a good post-election day, although I was rather surprised to hear that Governor Kay Ivey won the primary, and by quite a steep margin. She received over 54% of the vote, with Lindy Blanchard coming in next with only 19%, and Tim James following with 16%. Indeed, polls indicated that Ivey would face a runoff, even if narrowly, but nope. She has faced largely negative press of late, at least from my perspective, considering how the gas tax has burdened Alabamians' already strained payments at the pump. Lawsuits are still filtering in from businesses she shut down during the pandemic, and conservatives were at a loss to hear her greatest priority in the recent legislative session was to pass gambling. What does Ivey even stand for? To me, it has seemed more and more like her main goals all involve gaining more money and therefore power for state government. Over the past few years, I've heard more complaints against Kay Ivey than against any other member of Alabama's government. So how did she win? In a time when more and more people are raising an outcry about legislators who seem out of touch with what Alabamians really want, why do we still vote for the people who we've said don't represent us well? Well, we had a chance to pick another governor, and we didn't. We had a ton of alternate qualified candidates, and Alabama still picked Kay Ivey. Perhaps the discontented minority is always just louder, and most Alabamians really do appreciate Ivey. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe, as a steady, hardworking people, we just don't like change. We'd rather stick with the devil we know than the one we don't. Stick it out, don't rock the boat. Is that the mentality behind a citizenry who seems to constantly get stuck with corrupt, heavy-handed, or out-of-touch officials? If that's the case, in my mind, the majority has then lost the right to complain about her approach. I don't think of Alabama voters as out of touch. So how do we keep electing people who are out of touch with what we want? Alabamians are known for wanting a few things from government. Don't tax us a lot. Maintain family, often Christian values. Hands off our livelihoods. And don't grow bigger. Ivey has broken all of these rules in one way or another. She had a rough hand with COVID, so I can forgive her for that. But since then, she seems to have only gotten more heavy-handed. So I'm left scratching my head. How did she win by such a large amount? How many other officials have been elected because they're suave, homegrown in Alabama, have money, and know how to talk the talk? Well, behind the scenes, they're slipping new taxes into unrelated bills and sending the state into debt despite our $1.5 billion budget surplus. The more insider stories I hear, the more cynical I become about the way Montgomery is run. But after seeing these results, I wonder if there's also a problem with the voters. Everyone has the right to vote for who they want and to stick by their own opinion. I will die on that hill. I'm not upset that people voted for Ivey. I'm upset that people have decried Alabama's status quo and then voted for the status quo. Do we lack courage? Are we not educating ourselves well enough? Is there such a high level of gatekeeping within political circles that people really can't track an undesirable result, like the medical marijuana bill, which many opposed, back to its original source? But I believe in Alabama's courage and our political engagement. Yet, where there's smoke, there's fire. A dedicated, educated voting base should produce competent, passionate, upright politicians. Shouldn't we? I feel like there must be a disconnect here. Otherwise, why can't we elect leaders who will pass school choice already and throw those absurd gambling bills in the incinerator rather than passing them around like hot potato? I know we have good people in Montgomery, that the process is more complicated than I realized, and that some people just do like Ivey and other incumbents. But part of me wonders if our traditional Alabamian traits like respecting authority and sticking by those in your small community have been taken too far to the point that people are actually fine having an old boy favor-swapping political club. Perhaps it's so normal at this point that the average Alabamian doesn't want young whippersnappers with newfangled ideas, taking the place of older generations, even if they won't change their methods and vote for the needs their constituents are screaming at them. I think it's worth examining ourselves and why we'll oppose a politician's approach and then still vote for them. It's easier and more enjoyable to scapegoat our politicians, but it's not and can't always be just their fault. Elections have consequences, and we must constantly evaluate ourselves, grow, and learn to make sure we are making wise decisions to elect wise, attentive leaders. And that's Copper's Corner.
Well, just so you know, Charlene just texted me and said, Copper's killing it.
Cool. Hope I'm not griping too much. You know, I don't hate Ivy.
No. In fact, I don't think that was like an anti-Ivy rant or anything. But you nailed several things in there that, you know, I wrote down. So like you used the phrase gatekeeping. Mm. And, you know, the official phrase for that is incumbent protection.
But
that's what it is. I mean, they're like, okay, since he's here, let's protect him, even though he might not be the best one. Yeah. Or since she's already in the office, let's make sure she stays there. Well, that's, you know, that's not always best. So you were surprised that she had the march she did. I was surprised. I look at it and think, okay, it wasn't like the alphabetical order thing happened. There was definitely a lot of people lined up against her. Maybe there were too many against her because in the end it confused people and they may have just lined, like you said, gone with the devil they know, which is sad, but you know, it happens. What else did you say? I got a whole rack of notes here. And I wrote it my way, but you basically said that Ivy broke all the conservative rules like that. What was the list of rules you said they typically go by?
Oh yeah. Hands off our livelihood, don't tax us too much, Christian or family values, and don't grow.
Don't grow government. Yeah. So nailed it, and yes, she basically, her administration signed on to breaking every one of those.
Yeah.
And I think I said yesterday on the show, I mean, I was looking at one of her press releases and how she bragged, I signed this bill. Well, that means all you did was sign something the legislature did. I mean, in fact, when the legislature passes a pro-life bill, good luck not signing it. That's not going to happen. But yeah, it was an amazing day, and so she's going to be, you know, the governor for the foreseeable future.
You actually grew up in Alabama, so I don't know if you have insight on that. Is there some mentality among Alabama people too, not just among the political circles, that, you know, just stick with it, just ride it out?
No, I think that's everywhere.
That's true.
I think that's everywhere in the nation. I think that's why when they look at things in getting your campaign ready, one of the things they look at is name ID, because it matters. Right. People know your name. I mean, even George Wallace, you know, for all his warts and blemishes, whenever negative press came out, apparently his quote was, as long as they spell your name right, it's still good press. And because what it was doing was building name ID. And dang. I mean, how does a guy like George Wallace get reelected? Well, it was a different culture back then, but still. So I look at it and think that name ID plays in. Mm-hmm. It's a sense of familiarity. It's a confusion with, well, I mean, I've got a job, my life's good.
I don't know
who all these other people are. Do what?
We didn't get bombed.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'm not at war right now. So I don't know. I guess I'll just vote for the ones that I don't know all the rest of them. I'll just vote for the one. Like this friend who called me this morning and said, hey, tell me how the election went yesterday. What? So, but because not everybody pays attention, like, to the detail that you and I do, because part of it is that's our job, but the other part of it is not everybody is just as wonkish about doing it. Good stuff, Copper. Real good one. Are you going to turn that one into a writing for 1819, you think?
I will.
I think that was a worthy.
Thanks.
Put that one in the worthy column. Not that I think you've had any unworthies now that I think about it, but anyway.
We just had slight disagreements.
No, not big. Just
slight, slight.
Slight.
Which is good. Okay. It'd be boring if we agreed on every single thing.
That's right. It just makes us love each other more. There you go.
Indeed.
All right, so good stuff. All right, listen, folks, it is 3:56 p.m. Got a few minutes here. Going to tell you right now that when we come back from the next hour, I still got election stuff, but I think I'm going to wind up moving through it. I got a few speculations, a few things to think about elections, but I think it's time to move into a different topic because we can only talk about elections so long, and it's going to continue. We're going to have another month. Don't get tired of it because, you know, think about it. If Mo Brooks gets elected, he is one who is probably going to go to the U.S. Senate and stay there for two or three terms. And I think that's partly because, you know, his age for one, but I think it's also because he is not one who believes in establishing what I would call dynasties. But then, you know, I don't know about Katie Britt, but Katie Britt worked for Richard Shelby, who is in his 80s and finally retiring. And, you know, say what you want to about his career, but he's been there a long time. So if Katie Britt gets elected, then we may be looking at you making a decision in your vote. What I'm saying is your vote may decide who stays in that job for the next 40 years. So think about that. But we got a lot of stuff on the line right now. These are some huge big deal elections, especially when you consider that this listening area is the growth area of the state. This listening area is literally where the state has in large part shifted to. It's the biggest community when you take in the entire Huntsville metro area, it's one of the biggest metro areas, even sweeping all the way over to Decatur and Athens and others. It's one large metro area that literally is thriving despite the fact that some portions of our state are not. And that being said, whoever is the congressman for this area needs to have their finger on that pulse. So that race, the U.S. Senate race, and a few others that still matter to your actual good governance of your state, like auditor and secretary of state and legislative races, it's all in front of us. Do not grow tired or weary, all right? Do not grow tired or weary. You got to vote again in about a month, and it's worth it. And right now, we got legislative races in this state that are literally hanging on four votes. Four votes! Every vote counts. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, heading into the final hour for post-election day. Hang tight. We'll be right back.